Call the Gage County Board of Supervisors to order Wednesday, June 16, 2021 at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Haxby, Schuler, Thiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held June 2nd, 2021. Approve all claims through June 16th, 2021 in the amount of $3,286,108.83, except claim number 2106.0234 to Hard Rock Quarries in the amount of $21,953.76. Claim number 2106.0237 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $774.24. And claim number 2106.0250 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $4,197.12 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve Register of Deeds fees report and District Court summary fee report for the amount of for the month of May 2021. Approve declaring 2014 Dodge Charger VIN number 2C3CDXATXEH344848 silver in color, 132,484 miles as surplus and placing on Purple Wave for sale. Approved permit number 1196 to Norris Public Power District. They will be boring a 4-inch diameter 12.5 kV electric line encased in a 4-inch subduct pipe 5 foot below the bottom of road ditches for 66 feet. An electric utility crossing under Southwest 29th Road, approximately 1,110 feet north of the West Birch Road, located in the southeast quarter section 29 and southwest quarter section 28. Township 6 North, Range 6 East, Highland Township. Approved permit number 1197 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. They will be plowing a 48 WSFOC cable 5 foot below the West Grader Ditch along South 12th Road, going north of address number 351 for 284 feet to a handhole by pedestal number F553N. Located in the northeast quarter section 2, Township 6 North, Range 6 East, Highland Township. Approve additional work on the courthouse by Masonry Construction for the south entry lower clock tower in the amount of $25,000 even.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Haxby. Any discussion on any items? Please vote. 7 in favor. The motion carries. Up next, regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 2106-0234 to Hard Rock Quarries in the amount of $21,953.76 and claim number 2106-0250 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $4,197.12. These are companies I own or am associated with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Approve or disapprove claim number 2106-0237 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $774.24. This will bring the total amount of claims approved through June 16th, 2021 to $3,313,033.95.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Haxby. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor with Juergens abstaining. And that will be the last set of claims for last fiscal year.
Most of this dollar amount was transfers to other funds for operations and such.
So the next set of claims will be next fiscal year.
You will note that there was was no resolution to transfer dollars, so give him a hand.
I will tell the sheriff thank you. We got down to the wire again, and we made it through on the existing budget. We also bought an unexpected patrol car out of that budget. So thank you, Sheriff. You do get a, get some accolades there. So not only do you make it within budget, but you also got another patrol car out of that budget. So thank you very much.
Man, Galen, you must have done a bad job. Gus got accolades and you didn't.
Gus, we can't tell no. Galen's in a little rougher spot.
You didn't ask for comments from the public.
Not yet. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. And this will be for anything on the Board of Supervisors, not on the agenda later. No comments from the public. All right. We'll move on to building and grounds, winter lights, committee reports.
I missed our committee meeting Monday because I was representing the county in Lincoln for Region 5 Systems and Services, so I'll leave it up to Dave to give us a report on milling grounds.
Quick question for you, Dave. Eddie asked me about the tower at Wymore that was sold quite a while ago. He said that's still there.
They called me on Friday, and they were picking it up on Friday. I hope they got it all in one load, but they are from Oklahoma, and he's a truck driver, so they're heading up this way. So I believe it is all gone. I don't know if they were able to get it all on one load or not. I talked to Galen earlier about they actually put it on the outside of the fenced-in area so they could get it. And what happened, it was like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock on Friday night was when they actually were in that up to Wymore to get it. So I believe it is gone.
And I see you got price negotiated down on the clock tower cleaning.
Yes, they did. He said he went over the bid again and said since they were already here and felt that it worked out good for both of us, I think, to just tackle that. So he did say he would. The original bid was $28,300, and he came down to $25,000. Thank you for approving that. They had the time to do it now, so they'll just move right above the south doors and tackle that area that goes up to the arches and remove the water sealer, repoint, and then repair. Up above that, it doesn't look like there's any sealer, so they won't be having to do the removal of the sealer when they get to that point. So this should work out good tackling this now.
Everything I've seen looks real good that they've done.
They keep trying as close as they can on that yawn patch. We still have some issues with they're going to over dye the spots that look bad again, but this one that they're doing now, it is just a dead match, and so I hope they finally got it nailed down to where it's a perfect match. So I would say that they are they're a good outfit to work with. They've been very trying the hardest to get it.
Every time I come over here to look, they're very friendly and cooperative and will do everything they can to show
me. They have been, yes. They have been. They even offered above on the courtroom windows, we have some wooden panels, and for some reason those are only 10 years old and they're not holding the paint very well. And they let me last time, when the bucket truck was there, they let me get up there and we did repair work on the paint, and we're going to do that again this time. For some reason, for new wood, it's not holding the paint very good in those areas. While we're talking about masonry construction, he is still working on a proposal on this north area where the boiler room doors used to be. We have a lean-to. They came up with this. It's just actual limestone from south of Manhattan, Kansas. And instead of blocking the wall, they said they could just get this. It'd be a 6-inch block to go ahead and just fill in those voids. And there's actually a I-beam there that they would just use a thinner veneer to just completely cover that wall. So he gave me a rough estimate. It was with shipping was about $4,000 for the material, and we're going to try and do a time and material type bid. So I'll have more information in 2 weeks on that. Flags. We had discussion on that. Scott Bates came over and said the Legion had discussion that they would like to take over the project for the Avenue of Flags. He's going to have they'll have a Legion meeting on June 25th, so he will give an update on that. But it sounds like they would like to buy the flags, the all-weather flags, and just kind of take over that project. And volunteers, as usual, are all welcome to come and help put them up. But it would be that they would store the flags and the poles at their location. So
that would be a very, very good thing.
Yeah, I think
it done.
It would be, yes, it would be. Last thing, still taking bids. I did have a couple people contact me yet on the sidewalk bid over at the bus stop. This has been a long process. I've changed my mind several times on it, and really would like to see it get done. Actually, I was hoping we could take it out of this last budget year. That didn't work, but so there is it ties in with that block wall also. So once the sidewalk gets in, then the block wall would follow after that. So we're still should have that in 2 weeks. And I'm still working on getting specs. I would really like to get this ramp, the east handicap ramp, just the concrete replaced yet this fall. We had issues with it not working very well, so that's on the list to try and have that done here in the near future. It just seems like we go from Christmas lights to 4th of July and then back to the months just seem to fly by so quick. So I'm surprised that it's almost July already. Boiler inspection, we have that due this year. That's a 5-year inspection, so I drained the boiler, tore it down, and I don't see any problems with that. Their air conditioners were always fixing little bits and pieces on the air conditioner, but it still keeps plugging away. This is a good test for it this last couple weeks. So he was over there this morning just working, recharging it. So I think we're good to go. So that is all I have.
Thank you, Dave. Any questions for Mr. Jones? Glad you sound a little better today.
I survived, yes. Thank you.
Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance and insurance.
Large ticket items. Axion Enterprises Incorporated, Security Supply Sheriff, $20,876. City Beatrice Garbage Service and Quarterly EMS Services, $45,264.96. Eeks Office Solutions, Office Supplies, $11,279.51. Gage County, Fund Transfer for Budget Obligations, $1,409,808.45. NERMA, General Liability Insurance, $142,259. U.S. Postal Service, postage for meter, $25,000. Washington County Sheriff, Inmate Boarding Medical, $12,766.37. Ace Irrigation, Road Department, Ace Irrigation, Culverts, $39,403.90. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $36,168.24. Hard Rock Quarries, LLC, Rock and Gravel, $21,953.76. I'm not done yet. Midwest Sales and Service, Surveyor Flags Culverts, $10,640. Murphy Tractor and Equipment, 2 John Deere Motor Graders, $495,136. NERMA, Highway General Liability Insurance, $109,531. Rock On Incorporated Hauling Material, $13,621.48. Sepp Brothers Petroleum Fuel, $20,794.60. State Belt Construction, Armor Coating Material, $390,260.71.
You were on a roll today.
Thank you.
On the finance and insurance, we also increased our liability insurance with NIRMA from $5 million coverage to $8 million, probably on the lacking side, you know. But to go up another $3 million in liability insurance, it was like somewhere around $3,000 a year. So that's a little bit more coverage, another $3 million coverage now per occurrence for the county. Human resources, employee relations. We don't really have anything. We have an ongoing dispute, I guess, that we'll keep looking into, and that will continue on. Hopefully, by our next meeting, we have something to present to the board on that. Law enforcement, emergency management. Is Lisa here today?
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Not a lot earth-shaking here. You voted on that earlier now on the charger. That was going to try to be used for a school car, but we're just too many things on it mechanically, so we're just going to move it down the road and deal with something later on if it comes up for us on different vehicles.
That's a great car, though, right?
It's a great car. That's a V6. It probably wasn't the best cars, but we got a really good deal on two of them.
Not a good salesman.
No.
Not a good salesman.
That's why our
numbers
are
so low. And say Ford, I apologize, but you know.
That's why our numbers are so low when you sell things, sure.
Yeah, right. Well, they bring about $2,000-$3,000, though. I switched over last year on our inmate insurance carrier. I didn't like the one we had. They did me a little wrong, I thought, on a bill we gave them. So we switched over, and already we've got a little over $3,000 reimbursement from medical we had on an inmate here last month in the hospital. So that company I've been very happy with. They have a side to their company, another company that at no cost will go through all our bills we give to them. And then if they come across any Medicaid errors, code errors, they keep 20% of that, and the rest comes back to us in savings. So it's been several hundred dollars I've been seeing on that they've been catching. So they're doing a pretty good job for us so far. Last thing is we'll get some employees lined up. Last Saturday went down to San Marmar Days, and they went through the parade with car transport vehicles and one patrol car had about 10, 12 people handing out candy. So that was well received, and everybody liked to see us down there. We can get down there, so that went well. And that's all I have.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lisa?
Sure.
You had a busy night.
That's okay. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Just to give you an update from the meeting from last night, the commission is voted to move forward with the regulations for review by the county attorney. And hopefully our hearing will be set up for around July 22nd. Roger, I sent you an email, so
okay. Check
your email. But commission feels comfortable about, sending that up to you. They got through all their points of conversation and review to this point. So,
anything out of the ordinary last night? I went to plant sweet corn after the first hour of your meeting, I think.
Not really. I just know that the commission has taken a lot of time in reviewing and listening to the public comments and concerns. And so this is hopefully something that has created a balance for good measures, but yet really address the concerns going back to the hearings that we had on the amendment and looking at those. So ready to move forward after the pending the review from the county attorney's office. So that's really it. The rest can be covered during the hearings and on the plan. So
wonderful. Any questions for Lisa for now?
You had all that paper and that's all you have to say?
Well, she's got a bunch more for later for us. Road and bridge, Mr. Juergens.
We will be opening highway striping bids at 9:15. There will be approximately 33 miles. Pickerel East culvert was replaced. They're working on the next culvert. Patching on Pickerel East, and Wymore Liberty. Bridge crew, Rod had been working with armor coaters. Armor coating is complete. Mark Kunke will be starting on 6/21/21. Will be job shadowing Galen.
All right. Armor coat is complete. Everywhere. Good deal. Everything is looking up. We've got a couple timed events we'll skip over for now. Up next will be discussion on the Kansas-Nebraska Heritage Plan. We did get an email here from Kim Wilson. If any of you want to see this, she's asked for Gage County to table any decisions on this until after a feasibility study can be presented. Last we talked about this, we got a report from, or a recommendation from the planning and zoning to deny this or to oppose this. We are going to wait and get a little more information. I think Terry has some more information for us today. He's been studying this. Terry, of course, is on our P&Z, and thank goodness they look into all this all the time for us to kind of keep us in the loop. But Terry, do you want to present what you've found so far? I might have to shut you off if just we have our timed event.
Okay.
And then we'll pause and start back over. But
Terry Acton.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chairman Thiemann and rest of the supervisors. I do have a bunch of paperwork I need to.
Well, thank you, too. You guys, I'm sure you had a late night again at P&Z last night.
Yeah, we did. I know, I've been killing my paper allocation for the month. Okay, to get started, I want to go back and review a little things that was mentioned last time we were here. Supervisor Don Schuler had mentioned that Supervisor Haxby and myself had probably been involved with CSP payments, and I can only speak for myself that I can say, yes, we did enroll in the beginning years, but opted out because we didn't like the idea of government telling us what to do and leading us around like offering carrots to a hitched donkey pulling a cart. I am all for good stewardship of the land, but I don't need them telling me what or how to do it. And if you're not familiar with CSP, I have a copy of some of its details here. So you might think, well, if Terry, if you're not in CSP, you're probably not doing a very good job of farming or don't really care about the environment. But just as a small thing, I brought a couple of seed invoices for the rye that we had bought and put in cover crops for 2019 and 2020. I thought they were quite substantial. In 19, we sowed 35,000 pounds of rye. Last year, we sowed 33,000 pounds of rye, which covers about 4 to 430 acres every year. So I just think that shows that you don't have to always have the government telling you what to do, because they weren't telling us what to do. But I think we were doing the right thing. And so I would also like to thank Schuler that so his implication also points out a good thing with CSP program, which isn't clear or even possible with being in an NHA designation. With CSP, you can opt out, as we did. with NHA designation, the question is, can you? And I have talked to Bart, contacted my congressional leaders, Smith and Harris, but I have not received clarification yet.
May I reply to that?
I suppose, yeah. I was going to say we'd let him finish, but
I just want to point out that you don't have to opt out. It was just like Heritage Areas and just like CSP, CRP, or any other federal program, you sign up. And even though you're in the area, you are eligible to apply.
Right.
So you're not required to opt out in order to not participate.
We totally understood that.
Okay.
And we understood that going in. But my point is, with CSP, you can opt out. My question to you is, can you opt out of an NHA as a proponent?
Yes. Yes. And that
have you talked with, I mean, have you talked with the Senator Fisher and?
Well, I read the federal law. I read it here last Wednesday at our meeting.
I guess then they need to make it more clear because a lot of us are in limbo.
How can you be any more clear than reading the federal law?
Well, I guess I just haven't found that federal law. So please do issue that out in more of a text it to me, Don.
Okay. I need your email address because I've emailed it to everybody here. I've emailed it to every person on my GTO network email list and to all the District 6 people that I have emails for.
I read that, though, and I still didn't think it was clear either. I mean, it talks.
Well,
it
maybe
talks
Roger needs
itself
to read it to you.
Roger will say a lot of those are about as clear as mud.
Well, that's typical.
I was going to say the Blue River, but
yeah, I mean, generally they're written intentionally to not be clear.
Well, and again, you get.
I can read it now.
The thing is, with it, when you see a law like that, it's subject to interpretation. That's why lawyers have jobs. And I honestly have not researched
sure.
this at all. So
sure. Well, we're researching. Kansas, Nebraska Heritage Area has not written the law for it yet. The law I read was for Freedom Frontier. That established Freedom Frontier in 2006. So we're way ahead of the game that no law has been written. It hasn't went to Congress. It hasn't been proposed. The feasibility study hasn't even been done. So that's where this Kim Wilson, the executive director for Kansas-Nebraska, says that we should table this and wait until that information is available to us.
So my understanding is then you would be assuming that they will put it in there. It's not definite.
Aren't you assuming?
Yes, we are. That's why we're researching this to figure out what is going on.
Yeah, but you didn't find the federal law that I found.
Because it doesn't exist in relationship to what we're talking about.
Well, there isn't one because we haven't gone far enough. But existing Heritage areas, and there's 55 of them, all have this law.
And part of this might be, too, with the Project 3030, this National Heritage area that you're, if I understand right, the National Heritage area that you're supporting here.
Well, I'm not saying I'm supported. I'm just looking at the facts. I'm just presenting that don't slam the door on a heritage area until you know what it's all about.
But this heritage area was presented by Trump, if I understand right, and now there's a new administration, which I think there's a lot of.
Well, even Kincaid stated that 3030. Kincaid is the person from Colorado that has the land grab that they put on the presentation in Hebron.
Right.
And at that presentation, I was told that he stated 3030 has nothing to do with heritage areas.
And I think there's people combining the two here,
and they shouldn't be
just through perception,
right?
Know.
And speculation and fear.
I'll cover that in my conclusion part.
Okay.
Okay.
Terry, we've got a minute before a timed event. If you're going to get into a roll on it, instead of interrupting you right in the middle.
I'm not going to cram it all in one.
Yeah, I'd almost ask that you just wait for a second, and that way I don't interrupt you as you start presenting. Thanks for being patient with us. We have a timed event at 9:15 to close, accept, reject, or award bids for the highway striping project for approximately 33.39 miles of highway striping. Does anyone have a bid to submit for that yet, or have you received all of them? I ask for a motion to close bidding at 9:15.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Please vote. Six in favor with Juergens voting nay. Seven in favor, I'm sorry.
Hey, it was on the board.
Yes, it was.
Just reading what I see, Terry.
Bring those down to, oh, want me to bring that down to?
Yeah, I'll take that.
You got one?
That's what I've got. That was it.
One?
One.
One.
I don't know how we'll do that. Get on that. I don't know how we'll handle that.
Apparently, there's nothing else in there.
Harry, don't mess this one up.
Bid is with bond included. There's three options on this bid. This bid is from Bond. Bidder's name, Straight Line Striping. Address, 3543 Farmstead Road, Grand Island, Nebraska, 68801. Casey Clausen. There are three options on this bid. Option number one, edge striping only, both sides per mile bid, $815 per mile. And again, this is for 33.39 miles. Option number two, center line and no passing stripes only. Contractor determined no passing zones, price per mile, $408. Option three, edge striping, both centers, center line, no passing stripes. Contractor determined no passing zones, per mile bid price, $1,222.20. As we have in the past, Mr. Chairman, could I refer these to Galen and Becky and come back with a recommendation and I assume vote on it.
All right. Thank you. With that, I'd ask, we've got another time to bend at 9:30.
This number don't add up to them two numbers.
Those are per miles, and
if I remember right, you know, there is an increase I see in there, but it's not a huge one. And Galen or Becky will probably remember what last year's price was. I think we did the total package last year, and I was thinking my brain is around $1,100 some dollars, something. So we're at $1,222. So I mean,
what is it? This and this combined?
This is option three?
Yeah.
That or they knew that we'd go with option three, so they just raised option three a little bit. You're asking
your tastics?
You're asking if we can approve option one and option two, but not option three? We'll let Galen and Becky cipher on that and give us an answer. We have another time to vent in 11 minutes, but at this time I'd ask Terry if you'd continue. Every time you come to visit us, we have stuff right in the middle of what you're trying to present.
Okay. So, in investigating NHAs, I got a copy, the Farm Bureau letter. Everybody should have one in that lot of stuff I gave you. It was dated April 28th of this year, and that was about the time when I asked Farmers Union what their opinion was and they were against it, and then when I got here last time, they were for it, so I thought, I'm not going to do that again. So I contacted him yesterday. That's about as current as I can get. And I spoke with Jordan Ducks. He's Farm Bureau Governmental Affairs. And he's Nebraska Farm Bureau stance is still the same per the 428 letter. Reason, and I asked reasons, and he says it's problematic. Don't know what these look like 10 years down the road. And he also offered that their Western state affiliates say to be very cautious in dealing with NHAs. In his 12 years on Nebraska Farm Bureau, he's never heard of an NHA.
Now, this is in conflict with what John Hansen with Farmers Union told us, correct?
Yes, it would be direct opposite.
Okay.
Number two, feasibility study is this one here with the National Park Service, National Heritage Area Feasibility Study Guidelines. You all can look it up. It's 20 pages. I only printed out the ones that were pertinent to my position, which are on starting on page 4 in the middle there where it's highlighted. It says 4 steps necessary for Department of Interior, make findings, recommendation to Congress through requested testimony at a hearing regarding designation of a region as an NHA. Drop down to number 3. That would require a demonstration of widespread public support among heritage area residents for the proposed designation. I'm not sure where we're at with that. And then there's number 4, commitment to the proposal from appropriate players, which may include yourselves, local, you know, governments. So a feasibility is asking for your input on this on page 4. And then we'll go to page 13, I think. Same thing, step 8, evaluation of public support and commitments, where it's highlighted. There again, they're asking you as our local government for a resolution in regards to your commitment. They are asking you, so you're either thumbs up or thumbs down in the feasibility study.
So we're looking at doing a resolution either way.
I would say yes. That would be what they were asking. I'm not a lawyer, but okay. Number 3, it would be this one here. This is the proposed heritage area as presented to us, and the dots would indicate all the counties that have already signed an opposing resolution. And in my hand here, I have 28 of them. I didn't make copies of this for everybody, but in my hand, there are 28 counties in that 49 that are opposing that. And if you'd like to see these, you're more than welcome to look at them. They're right there.
Have you talked to any of the commissioners from any of those counties?
No, I have not. No.
I have.
Good. Because I'm showing you what they did.
Yeah.
If they're on this, they said no. So that's what I'm telling you.
Yes.
They're all there.
But you haven't talked to any of the commissioners.
What are you implying?
I guess I don't know why.
No, it's part of research.
What did they say as you talked to them? Why did they vote against it?
Because it was right after the meeting that Kincaid and Angel put on. And I asked, what basis did you make your decision? Oh, that's what people went to the meeting wanted. So we passed the resolution. I said, "What were you objective? What do you know about heritage areas? Have you talked to heritage area representative?" No.
So 28 out of 49 counties have
And this particular...
Actually, Eric, there's more. There's
a friend of mine.
I think there's 31... I just don't have the designations on here. There's 31 already.
31 out of
49. Out of 49, it's got to be over 63%.
It appears to me it's like what we farmers do when we irrigate. The neighbors start irrigating, so maybe I better start irrigating. That's the impression I got based on this commissioner that I spoke. And I told him that, and he laughed, shrugged his shoulders, and
So you only talked to one commissioner?
I talked to one. Well, I talked to others, but I didn't get into the detail I did with this one.
Okay.
But what we're seeing is a majority, a large majority of counties that are opposing it.
Yeah.
That's but a surprising
the whole point,
amount.
The whole point is, and just like this, I'm not, it may seem very much so that I'm for these heritage areas. That's not the point at this time. Just like this document here that you presented, there's a feasibility study, and as Kim Wilson, the Nebraska Heritage Area Director, told us, they have yet to come to us with an explanation and any details. The only thing that has generated these discussions at this time is the meeting that Mr. Kincaid and Ms. Cushing presented and went to all these counties, or nearly all of them, with their presentation, which is an opposition. We have not officially received any communication, and if I had not contacted Kim Wilson or Jim Ogle, we'd have had no communication with any heritage area that would give us the details or the facts that side of the issue.
And that's the way it sounds like it went in the Freedom Frontier, too. They didn't contact anyone.
Well, yes, they did.
They pretty much said they didn't. Most people didn't know they were in the heritage area.
Well, people didn't know it. How many people don't pay attention to what we're doing here?
It's true, but it sounds like at Freedom Frontier, most people don't even
know. They hadn't even been affected by it.
HA.
They hadn't even been affected by it. They didn't even know what it was.
Terry, last night,
you had nobody asked to be pulled out.
Emily has something.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Axby.
We've also asked P&Z, who's done a lot of time, and we appreciate everything they've done. We've asked them to look at this. They spent a lot of time. They're volunteers, and we really appreciate everything you've done, especially Terry, researching this. And they came back to us with a recommendation against this. And I don't know, I mean, by asking them and then waste, I mean, I think we need to listen to what they have to say.
I don't think it's a waste. Terry, if you could kind of go over what you did last night, maybe this will help too. Last night, you gave a very short spiel with the homestead. I thought it was to the point about the homestead and our numbers that come in currently. And and you're right. The only difference is I think we do use those dollars for marketing the part that we – I think they use those for like the plaque cards or the rack cards. The county, the tourism dollars we get in that you talked about, Gage County Tourism, it's actually Gage County Tourism through the Beatrice Area Chamber. They do use some of that money for rack cards, maps, things like that as they market. I think it just goes into their general fund. So some of that money that we are giving to them does get used for selling. But
yeah, I can do that, Eric, but I want to first go. I appreciate you doing your job, Don, on this board. Sounds to me like, yes, that you are doing your job as far as investigating. I appreciate that. And I also would add to that, when you ask that commissioner, why'd he do it? He said, because that's what the people wanted me to do. And I would say to that, he's doing his job too.
Well, county board members and planning and zoning are to be community leaders and to be objective and look at both sides of the issue. And Emily just said that you spent a lot of time on this issue. I went to two planning and zoning meetings. One meeting, you brought up the Kincaid poster and you made us aware of it. The only other time it was on the agenda was one meeting. I was there for that meeting, and you voted on it at that meeting. There was no other time. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was discussion of heritage areas on the agenda more than one meeting?
I'll interject right here. Most of that work is done outside of the meetings. There is some talking there, but you can't research stuff during the meetings. And just implying that even is not even.
Hey,
I would add to that.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Eric and Don, I'm going to invite you over for coffee when I start doing all this research at night. Don, when I get
I'm not saying
when
you
I get done at
research,
the end of the
but
day,
you didn't research
I'm
both
on
sides.
My phone searching this. So if you'd like to come with me, I'm going to call you up and we're going to sit together and go through this together.
Okay. Because
I'm not sure how you would know how much time I have spent researching this outside of P&Z. It wasn't just those 2 days. It's taken a lot of time.
Eric asked you 2 weeks ahead of that meeting or 3 weeks to research it.
So 3 weeks isn't sufficient to do research?
Well, no, but it only was on the agenda for one meeting.
We had already went to a meeting in Hebron, and after that, we started looking into it immediately. I don't remember what day it was.
Right. And that's okay. Let's
I'm going to get to, in my conclusion, I'm going to.
Terry, I'm going to have to stop you once.
You've done a wonderful job, and your committee has done a wonderful job. We will listen to you and what you recommend. Hey. I think it's very
good. I've got a time to finish at 9:30. I'm sorry, Terry. And then we really will let you let you finish. I apologize. We have a time to finish at 9:30. I'd ask for, there's a sign-up sheet over here on the desk to my right. I'll ask for a motion to go into public hearing at 9:30 to hear support and opposition from the public on planning and zoning special use permit number 2021-2 for the placement of a temporary asphalt concrete plant to be located in the southeast quarter of Section 21 in Paddock Township.
Move to open public hearing.
Second.
Moved by Lytle. Second by Dorn. Please vote. 7 in favor. We're in public hearing.
Great. Terry Wilhelms is here, also the project manager for this particular site. And you guys had a packet. We notified 21 partials. It passed unanimously with our zoning commission. We heard no opposition. And as you look through your packet, Terry's also worked out already with the County Roads Department the agreement for the use of the Hall Road, which in this case, help me out, Galen, is 18th. Is that right? Road, the Hall Road, the county road is 18th, I believe.
Well, I believe it is just straight south of 112, yep. The first mile.
So, and also Terry has met with the Paddock or been in contact with the Paddock Township and discussed with them any issues that may be of concern with land, the road use. Again, no problems. It was passed unanimously. So I'll let Terry discuss the project a little bit more.
Terry, will you please give your name and address for the record?
Yes.
My name is Terry Wilhelms with Warner Construction, Hastings, Nebraska. Thank you for letting me be here this morning. I'd met with you maybe a couple months ago on another plant site. When we first started looking at places for putting an asphalt plant, Claytonia was a good spot, but the logistics now make it it makes much more sense to have another asphalt plant site down by Odell, and that's the reason why I'm here today. We had an asphalt plant down there about 3-4 years ago. It was just on the other side of the road, and I think that's Maple, but in that area. So we've been down there before. Easy access to Highway 8, which is where we're going to be doing our construction work.
Any questions for Terry? Mr. Juergens?
I was asked this question. Why are you locating this plant 10 miles from the job site?
We had been in that area before.
Okay.
It's not that easy to find a property owner that's willing to lease some property. We had Vitash, I think is their last name. Yeah. We had rented from there before. They had a spot available.
The gentleman you are talking about, Mike Vitash, had called me 2 months ago and said he was in complete agreement with this. He has no opposition, so thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Just out of curiosity, how long do you think the plant will be there?
Well, we're working on the Pickerel project right now. We would like to start stripping off some of the surface to get the plant prepped and ready to go here in the next week or so. Typically around 6, 8, 10 weeks. A lot of it has to do with the weather conditions. And it probably wouldn't be till about July till we would start moving in our equipment and stuff.
Our typical process is to wait 2 weeks after a public hearing. Will that interfere? I know it won't make it as easy as it could be, but
It won't interfere with any operations because we're not going to be, like I said, until July. We will probably do a little prep work just to get the site ready to go. And I realize you have like your 2 week period for doing the resolution, but all we would be doing is some ground preparation work.
Well, we appreciate you working in the county.
So,
Mr. Chairman?
Yep.
Any need to delay that 2 weeks?
It's just been our standard practice for a long time. And we don't have a resolution ready.
All right.
That makes it a little easier. Yep, we got to wait 2 weeks.
Yeah, it should work out with our schedule and such.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else on the list to speak? Anyone else that would like to speak for the special use permit for the asphalt plant? All right. I'd ask for a motion to come out of public hearing at 9:35 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Please vote. 7 in favor.
Kirk.
Yes, sir.
Say they're ready.
Oh, they're ready?
Yep.
Do you want to give us your recommendation? Thank you, Terry. You want to give us your recommendation on the striping, Galen, sure. Quick, before we get back into the other item? Yep.
Would recommend awarding a bid for the approximately 33.9 miles of highway striping for option 3 for a total of $40,809.25 to straight line striping.
Move to accept and award the bid.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Byers to accept option 3 from straight line, the amount of $40,809.25. Any discussion? $40,809.25. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Thank you, Becky and Galen. All right. Terry, you're back on. We won't interrupt you again this time until something else comes up.
We don't promise that.
Yeah.
Recess.
Okay, so I want to back up a little bit on what I presented last time was that in researching, I thought NEPA was not in existence, but Commissioner Shuler pointed out to me that it is. I spoke with Kelly Evans at NRCS yesterday. She says when on their side of the building, when there's anything to be done, they fill out an environmental evaluation worksheet, CPA 52 form, and it's mostly endangered species is the concern. And those three endangered species are the Masagua, which is a little rattlesnake in the southern part of the county, northern long-eared bat, and the western prairie-fringed orchid. Those are the primary species that NEPA would be looking at. So she tells me that their projects, they rank them, you sign a contract, and then they CP 52 form, where they look at all the concerns. And they put this into computer, and it goes off, and Clean Air Act, Clean Water Acts, Coral and Coastal Acts, NEPA, and Cultural Resources look at that. And if they come back and they say yes, no, or they need more investigation, but they won't tell you what it is. And I think that's probably because if it would be like a cultural thing, then people would probably go loot it if they knew where it was at. And so then I went over to the other side of the office or the building, which would be your FSA. And it's my understanding from Jesse Colgrove is that NEPA would only be involved in grain bins, buildings, or real estate loans. Real estate loans are done in-house. They don't have NEPA look at them. And she tells me that NEPA is not involved when you go in to certify your acres, which leads me to ask this. This is a question of mine then. What about a farm that certifies but is not in any farm program, meaning they take no ARC or PLC payment, no federal money? And also, what about a home on a big acreage out there? They don't go certify. So my question is, does an NHA designation put them in under NEPA? Are they under NEPA even if they're not taking federal dollars? To me, that would seem unfair, and I think that if the NHA partnership wants to do it, they need to contact these people and ask them what they think. I spoke with a 35-year FSA loan officer. He said they had one instance in Barnston area. I believe he said it was on a bin project where they came out. I hope I got this straight. They said, when you're digging, if you find some bones, stop. And he says, well, I'm going to cancel it. Then he did the funding on his own. So then, so people ask, okay, so mainly from an economic and a tourism standpoint, well, what is it that an NHA could do to make it more palatable? And proponents say they need more funds for advertising, tourism, and economic development. So I'm getting to your question, Eric. I contacted the county treasurer yesterday in regards to the 5% lodging tax. And the results I see that it is working. I didn't bring the piece of paper that I specifically wrote out each year, but in my mind I can remember year 2016 through 2020. Lori said, she didn't say this, but in my mind it was a steady $60,000 to $70,000 for both, meaning 67 went to Chambers, 67 went to the county, and the county's area is for capital improvements only, as they tell me. So my question to you is that fund piling up? Are you starting to build a lot of money there since it isn't going out? And perhaps maybe you need to tweak that and use some of that to promote more economic or tourism within our own area. In the papers that I sent out, I made a copy of a resolution opposing NHAs, which is similar to all these 28 other ones in various forms. That would be very, very similar to these. And I also have a model resolution for private land county opposing 30 by 30. So that gets me to my conclusion as to why is this? Why did this happen the way it did? And from my research and listening and trying to make the best decision I can, it started as a distrust in the government issuing 30 by 30 with no details per implementation, leading landowners to speculate. And I say you reap what you sow. As a farmer, if you sow seeds of distrust, you will have a harvest full of distrust. That's what you're seeing today. And the Kansas-Nebraska partnership probably is a victim of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I would suggest that all of us contact our congressional representatives and tell them, please stop issuing vague laws and policies with little to no details per their implementation. Your actions have consequences.
We just looked up that dollar amount. The Visitor Improvement Fund started at $296,000 this year. So that means that's half that we doled out that same amount over time to, not over the entire time, but there was that much in our account. They budgeted $130,000 with 60-some thousand left that wasn't dallied out. But the fund was actually at
$296,000. Yeah, there's two different funds.
The Visitor Improvement Fund.
The Visitor Improvement Fund that we use for grants. Mm-hmm. I start with whatever the balance is in that fund, and this past fiscal year was just under $300,000.
So
paid out from that.
That tells me the 5% lodging tax is working. You guys are building a nice nest egg. When people ask you, hey, we need more money for national marketing of what is in our area, Homestead National Monument, perhaps you guys can use some of that money for that.
I don't know if we're allowed to do that. I know the Gage County Tourism, their portion they use
for operations and everything. Can we use that for marketing?
They coordinate. I know they do coordinate with like the brochures that they distribute around the state and other states, because I've seen them do that. So that includes the National Monument, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's our biggest draw.
Right. We just gave, just for an example, we gave $30,000 to the Blue River Access Project, which would be the kayak and canoe access, which is directly linked to potential tourism, or like you brought up last night, the ballparks or the Welsh Heritage Center.
So the money is going out. The moms and dads that paid the lodging, they're reaping the benefits of their tax, and their ball diamonds are being improved, is the way I understand it. So my conclusion is it's working very well, and you're actually building a nest egg almost. So
there's definitely projects that go out there, park projects, all kinds of different projects like that. But, yeah, you're right. That's for directly tourism-related items.
So in my conclusion, I wouldn't – in everything I've researched, I wouldn't waste another day. I do the resolution. Your feasibility study is asking for it. More than 63% of the surrounding counties have thumbed it down. I think you need to send the message that no, we're not going to support this. Come back at us with what's supposed to be more unity and ask us ways to help with climate change, not come down with very vague laws and policies. So I wouldn't waste the day. Do it now. Send the message. Let them know what your thoughts are.
And this resolution that you gave to us today, that's what most of the counties are, that would be what
they're varying.
Talk about that.
Yeah, they look all a little different. You can look.
Well, my comment, Terry, is why get in a hurry? The feasibility study is what's to bring us the information to make the resolution. Yes, they ask us to pass a resolution, but this is way early. They want to come meet with us and present more details to give us more opportunity to learn. I feel that to respect our engage, as Trevor Lee requested that we wait, Angie Bruna, Beatrice Area Chamber of Commerce, is interested in what funding it can bring us. She would like to see us wait, is the impression she gave us, at least for me. I think it is, I feel that we need to table this and look at it more objectively when we are appropriately approached. The only thing that initiated this whole conversation is one meeting put on by Dr. Kincaid and Angel Cushing, and that's what's got everybody excited. If it had not been for that gentleman from Colorado fanning the flames, we wouldn't be at this stage. We'd be waiting for Ms. Wilson to contact us. We've heard good comments, an overview from Mark Engler, and Mark is from Gage County, from Beatrice. He loves this county. He loves this state. I don't believe that he would he's not an expert in it, and due to his job, it is difficult for him to even speak about this, but he chose to with permission from his supervisors, and he had to get a release from his supervisors on what he was going to say. He stuck his neck out.
But Mark said he wasn't going to talk in support or against it.
Right, he can't. Right.
So he didn't say support.
But his overview was positive.
I guess what I'd ask from you all is, we can't do anything today. It's a discussion item. Do you want a resolution on our next meeting?
I'd like to see it at least discussed as a resolution on the next meeting.
Yes.
Because, I mean, just if we have general consensus on that, do you want a resolution in favor or a resolution in opposition?
We can decide that, but we have to have it on the agenda.
We could table it. Can we have a motion to table it?
For 2 weeks.
Eric, I'd like to rebuttal it with Don's comments there that, you know, the amount of money that the federal government's going to dole out has to be matched with private donations, fundraisers. I asked in Frontier Heritage Areas, do you guys have fundraisers? And they say, we have no idea if there are. There's not.
Yeah.
So it takes matching funds. So then take that small amount of money and divide it out over 49 counties. For what you are bringing onto yourself, it's meaningless.
If I well, and here we are.
It's meaningless amount of money. Don, can you tell me what is a non-program farm and an acreage? Are they going to be subjected to NEPA? If
no,
why wouldn't they?
Why would they be?
Because their NEPA is going to be in an NH. Yes, it is.
No, but you even said that checking with FSA, if they didn't use federal money,
I didn't.
The guy could build the grain bin on his own without any effect of NEPA.
Well, I'm going to stop you.
You're misunderstanding.
We're just
when you do an NHA, NEPA is that boundary is NEPA.
Well, the whole United States is NEPA. If you've got to
not
be
a
federal
non-farm
money.
Program,
but it won't be with an NHA either.
Well, yes, it would.
Well, only if federal monies are accepted.
We'll stop here because we're speculating, Mr. Haxby.
I just want to close. I do have a model resolution for 30 by 30. Private.
That I do want to wait until after the governor comes down and speaks Thursday.
Thursday the 24th at 6:30.
And that's
thank you.
Four generations. Thank you very much, Terry. We do appreciate it.
Thank you, Terry.
Yep. I had a question, Terry.
Yes.
sorry. Okay. Bring you back. When we were listening to Kim, there was a feasibility study, and she said that costs a lot of money, and so they want to be get people involved at that point. Well, how much? If correct me if I'm wrong, but if 63%.
Right now, over yeah.
So why? Where's the money come from for this feasibility study? And why would you waste taxpayers or whatever dollars on a feasibility study that you don't have the support for?
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't find out what a feasibility study costs, but obviously as there's fewer counties, it's higher, obviously, because you don't have it spread out. In my reading, local counties don't pay into that feasible study, is my understanding. So who's paying it? I don't know. I'm going to guess it would be the donating entities that want to be in this. I'd certainly hope it wouldn't be state.
I don't know either, Terry.
I don't know.
I know it isn't the counties.
Yeah, I know it's not county, but
probably
Terry, we could find out.
Put it up for a vote in 2 weeks.
We'll have a resolution, Mr. Lytle.
Your resolution would be about the Nebraska-Kansas heritage area specifically, right?
Right.
And it wouldn't affect if the homestead wanted to come back with a national heritage area more focused and centered around their location.
This would
it
not,
wouldn't affect that, right?
This would not be NHAs as a whole. This would be specifically the Kansas-Nebraska heritage area.
I agree with Terry. Put it on in 2 weeks.
We'll have that on the agenda in 2 weeks then with a resolution.
Okay. I recommend you pressure congressional people. They've got 2 weeks. They got a lot of staff. They should be able to give you some direction.
Thank you.
If they can't, Congress
thank you,
doesn't
Terry.
Know what's going on. That's just that always concerns me because, again, we rely on precedent and what the committees and people tell us during hearings. And I assume the offices can give us some direction because I think what Terry said, the biggest thing there is the distrust. Mm-hmm. And they've earned it very well.
There's a lot. All right. We'll move on from that. Then thank you, Terry, for your work on this. And I'd like to say we do have your recommendation from P&Z as well. We're going to move on from this one now. Up next will be approve or disapprove Southeast Nebraska Adult Drug Court interlocal agreement with Fillmore. With Fillmore, Gage, Jefferson, Thayer, and Saline counties effective July 1st, 2021 through June 30th, 2022.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle. Seconded by Dorn. Counselor, would you like to give us anything on this?
Just very briefly, our percentage of the total cost actually has gone down a little bit, which makes the it even more advantageous for our county. if you see the, according to the, excuse me, the recent number, Gage County will be giving a total of, or contributing $7,160.60, 66 cents, excuse me. Quite frankly, that's the cost of one felony drug case going to a jury trial. So that's we have 23 participants currently in the program. The recovery rate or recidivism rate, if, depending on how you look at it, continues to be higher than the national average. And Chris Reeves is the new gal that's the coordinator. she had a, several other engagements. I told her I would try to field any questions. And I know this group's always been very supportive with the two new folks on here. I would just indicate to you it's a tremendous bang for the buck for Gage County. Again, it would keep people basically in an 18-month or longer program. It's very strict as far as them being maintaining sobriety and having a job and getting back to being a useful person in our society. So I would encourage you to continue your participation in the Southeast Nebraska Drug Court, and we do have a new one that's also opened up on to the east of us. That is not, this is not the money that goes into that one. We are strictly on the original one. Any other questions you may have?
Any other discussion at all? Questions for Roger? If not, I would ask you to vote. Seven favor.
Thank you.
Motion carries. We will get that signed. Up next, approve or disapprove recommendation for special designated liquor license for Gage County Fairgrounds Beer Garden Midway for the Gage County Fair, July 28th through July 31st, 2021.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Haxby. Again, this is just a recommendation. We can't make this decision. Roger, do you want to speak on this?
Yes.
Please give your name for the
Roger Henrich, president of Gage County Aid Society. We're asking for your approval of the special designated license. As you know, we hold a liquor license out there. And this is for the beer garden. It's usually in the past years we've asked for two different ones. This year we're only asking for one. We are enlarging the one, the original one that was always there. It was 150 by 100. This year we want to make it a little larger. I talked to the sheriff about it, and he said that would probably be a good deal, too. He might want to say a word or two, but mainly just enlarging it so we have a little more room. We'll be operating it 4 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Fair runs the 28th through August 1st through Sunday. So any questions?
Any questions for Roger? We have a letter from the sheriff. He has no problem with it. I don't know if he wants to speak to this at all. Your beer garden's only the 28th through the 31st, though, correct?
Right.
But the fair will go on to the 1st.
Right.
What is your net profit on that?
Net profit on that is, Lisa might be able to help me there, but I think range of $50,000.
Not last year. Maybe about $40,000, somewhere in there.
It's significant in what it contributes to your budget.
That's the only way we can have a fair, honestly. And keep the entrance free through the front gate. So
good.
We charge their parking, but
yeah, there's no individual.
No, no.
No. You know, we've discussed that with Roger. He said they're enlarging it. Probably in our side of the fence is probably a good idea because it'll help us when it's closing time to kind of get people moving out and kind of see what's going on when they are open. And we've really never had any more major problems there than we do anywhere else. It's been pretty gentle crowd. So it was not a concern for me there. So it'll be good to go.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Any additional discussion on this? I would ask you to please vote. Seven in favor. Motion carries. We'll send that recommendation up.
Thank you.
I guess to all of you on the Fair Board, thank you. That's tough to get people to put in that much volunteer time. We really do appreciate it.
You're fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Up next, boy, we're full of contentious things today. Approve or disapprove the resolution for an extension of the wind solar moratorium. The current moratorium ends the end of the month, July 15th. The end of the current moratorium is coming up. We won't have the intended things done yet by the end of this moratorium. So this one would put a moratorium on wind and solar through December 31st. That would be lifted as soon as, I mean, the intention would be that would be lifted as soon as we get stuff back from P&Z. We have our public hearing, and we have a final vote on it. At that time, there'd be no reason to have a moratorium anymore. On wind and solar. I'm sorry?
I said other than solar, because that wouldn't be done yet.
Other than solar, if at that time we think we need to, and that'd be something we'd need to ask P&Z if they're looking at potential changes there. The more immediate was dealing with the wind, though. Like I say, this one would just extend the original one again. Lisa said P&Z will have that public hearing July 22nd.
That's, yes, barring the review is complete. So, but, yeah, that's what our goal is. So then you guys can schedule, just as long as we don't have to table for more information, but after testimony. But 22nd is what we're preliminarily looking at. So however that shoes in for you guys. Your question on solar, I guess, as we reviewed that. So we don't have solar-specific regulations. So we have a start on a work sessions, but they're not complete. We probably got 3 months to work through that.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I would read the number.
Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby, to approve Resolution 21-09, which basically will extend the current moratorium through December 31st, 2021. Any additional discussion?
I guess I feel like this has taken a long time, and discussion would not end even if we discontinue the moratorium. We're just... except we could begin accepting permit applications. So I feel like the moratorium doesn't need to be extended any longer. Continue discussion. That's my opinion.
You're completely correct. That's the idea of the moratorium, is to not accept applications in case rules will be changed. If you want to accept applications now, then it'd be appropriate to vote no to this. Mr. Lytle?
I agree with Don. At the very least, it shouldn't be till December 31st. It should be a shorter time period. Need to get this done.
I did go and talk to P&Z last night. There's been a lot of discontent on the board how long this has taken. So I tried to encourage them to move this along. It's really tough with planning and everything else that goes on. We have a volunteer board that puts a lot of time in, and they've taken this very seriously. So... I felt bad even asking, but I knew the opinion here that we need to get going. So they have accelerated that as much as they can. Counselor?
Well, I would just note on behalf, I've heard from some of the members that they're working their tails off down there. And this is something nobody wants to touch, because it is politically charged. And they're doing it. And they're doing it for this much money. They get paid nothing but take away from their home life and their businesses. So when you put pressure on them to hurry up, that's not helping. And I would caution this board, do not go down there. You gave them a request. That should be it. The fact that it may be taking a little longer, I'd say too bad. You want them to look at it for the umpteenth time. And that's what it is. It's been a long time since they've been studying wind turbine regulations. And they have passed recommendations up here. after public hearing. So I just caution you, you know, if you do whatever you want with the moratorium, but they put off the solar panel discussion, which I know the director was trying to move up, because that basically is something this county hasn't looked at and needed to. So that's my two bits. And like I said, I've heard from some of the members, and they just feel a little bit, you ask us to do it, now you're upset about how we're doing this. So be careful.
And I apologize for that. We have Monty here, and Terry was here. Lisa, of course, sits in on all those also. It is tough. We ask you to look at stuff, and then we say, let's get it done, as you're trying to do everything else as well. So I do apologize for that push. We were looking, and it was at 2.5 years now from the original. And I think Monty brought it up. The last resolution was 12 months ago now. And it's the PNZ. I talked to Jeff Argo yesterday, the chairman. They want to wrap it up. We want to wrap it up. Everybody wants this wrapped as appropriately as possible. Mr. Schuler.
Yeah, I think they're doing a good job, and I realize it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time. But what issues do we face if we begin to accept permits or applications?
If any changes would want to be met once an application's in, more than likely it wouldn't stand up in court if there's potential changes in place. There'd be a good argument against it, but that'd be fought out in court. If there's potential changes already in place and the permit's put in, which would be against those changes. But basically, we're trying to keep ourselves out of court saying, well, this is what it was going to be. This is what it could have been. We may get stuff, and we may decide we're not making any changes to the existing regulations, but we may decide we are.
So we have existing regulations, and if somebody makes an application for a permit, then if we choose to make changes after that permit has been applied for, that's where we may face, because they applied based on the current regulation at the time of their application.
Knowing that there's potential changes.
So if we decide to change something after they made their application, it would affect that permit also, and not necessarily be, I mean, it'd be retroactive of that. That's what we're trying, we would say we're doing, which would take us to court, is that it's retroactive back prior to them making the application. And that's the part that's...
As a developer, I would say, hey, these are the rules. As a PNZ or a county, I would say, yeah, but you knew we were changing the rules. And
but you didn't know you were changing them.
Yeah, we don't know that we're changing them.
Again, if you want to keep them out, just pass the law that says there's no wind turbines in Gage County. I'm serious.
Yeah,
I mean, let's just sit down and, you know, I'll get some hate mail on this one. But we've dawdled on this all the way through, and we keep moving the goalposts. Or potentially moving the goalposts. If I'm a developer, and that's up to the developer, I'm not doing it, but there's a lot of leases already out there. There's people who have made decisions based upon existing regulation. So, again, the process is, and we've all followed the process, let's see what the hearings do after PNZ comes up, and they may say they're all okay. That's it. From them. Then you people can decide what you want to do.
All right, we have a motion.
Moratorium says nobody.
We have a motion and a second to extend the moratorium from its current time ending date to December 31st. I believe the intention on that would be to end that sooner if we get our public hearing and vote done. Would that be the correct intention? Got a nod from Mr. Dorn. If there's no further discussion, I would ask you to vote. Motion carries 5-2, with Schuler and Lytle voting nay. Motion carries.
Erica, one thing I'll say is I have no issues with how they're handling it, how planning and zoning is handling it. But I do think as a board we could handle it differently. I agree with Roger.
There's no reason
we need to have a moratorium for how long has this been now?
Over a year.
Yeah. No reason.
Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove allowing townships to substitute gravel for rock. This came up when Mr. Mulder came at committee meetings. I talked about not being able to get material. We talked about that a little bit more. Philly had done some exchanges. I talked to Galen. The concern is rock not lasting as long as gravel. Mr. Mulder from Nemaha Township's concern was we're not getting material out. At the township meeting, we told the townships we'd allow them to substitute two additional miles, two in the spring, two in the fall.
Not additional, in lieu of.
I'm sorry, in lieu of gravel, right now they can substitute 2 miles in the spring, 2 miles in the fall, rock instead of gravel. We said we'd bring it up later if we want to allow more. And that's for discussion or action today. So I guess I'll open the floor for discussion on that if that's something that we want to talk about.
I read that to allow township to substitute gravel for rock. Is that just reversed or is that what you meant?
Township substitute gravel for – that's backwards on the agenda. Substitute rock for gravel. I'm sorry.
I read it and I didn't even see.
Rock for gravel. Well, I guess I can see it both ways. You're substituting gravel for rock. We're substituting rock in place of gravel.
Rock for
gravel. Yeah. Mr. Lytle.
Galen, could you come up and tell us, you know, why does it matter one or the other? What is the reason that we want this X amount of gravel? You know, why would it be a big deal substituting rock for the gravel, just for everybody's understanding?
Well, the only thing that I see when you get away from using gravel and you're using rock instead, once the rock gets down there and it gets embedded into the roadbed as a base, when it's gone and if you have wet weather, rock will stay down in that base, okay? So on top, you're going to start getting, say, slimy or slippery conditions over time. And it all hinges on your weather conditions, of course. But once you gravel a road, and the gravel will get also beat down into the top of that roadbed. But when they come up, when it dries up and the grader goes and works the road, that gravel has a habit to work itself back up. And you can reclaim some of that. That's the big difference between there. So, and if you do have a real wet stretch and that rock does get embedded down in there and there's no material up there to bring itself back in the future. So, and then they'll be either requested more rock because it'll start getting slippery and wet on top to take care of the conditions because there is no gravel to retrieve to when you work the road to bring it back across.
And we talked about some Monday. Pawnee's basically all rock, I think, where if you go west, Jefferson's basically all gravel. A lot of it's based on what you have available. And I tried to think of, I mean, we talk about why don't we have enough gravel, and I was thinking about that yesterday because we're basically using the same amount of gravel other than a few projects here and there, but we've lost pits. Myers closed, that's a Jefferson County pit. Dantees. He's not producing. He hasn't for several years now. We used to have a Barron's pit not far from here. We're losing pits, and we're not gaining any. People can open pits and produce the fine sands, but we can't get the 2A product. So this is probably going to get worse, not better. I was hoping each year it's going to get better, and it's not. Mr. Juergens.
Go ahead and finish. The rock part, is this that 5/8?
This would be any rock.
Any kind of rock they'd want.
That's what the original one said, I think. They could choose the size of their rock. Is that right, Galen?
I believe so.
Inch or less, though, right?
I think inch and a half or whatever. We said they could substitute what they requested.
Yeah.
But it comes down to what's available.
Luckily, right now, Sites, which is our major supplier, they were out last year because of a wind farm for quite a while. I think they have, and you might know, Galen, I think they've got all products right now, too.
As far as I know, they do, yes.
On the plus side of gravel, the material we've been getting lately, and I just saw some spread in my area, is very good material, coarse material. And if you could get that all the time, there's absolutely no doubt. You know, every road's different, but there, to me, overall, no doubt the gravel would be the preference.
Correct.
If you could get it. Okay. If you could get this quality that we're getting now.
I think everybody's probably in agreement with that because that's probably that PAL gravel. That's a really nice product with some fines in it, which seemed to help also. Mr. Lytle.
I would say we move forward with approving this just in the idea of getting everybody material on their roads so they're not going without. But when gravel's available, we do need to try and make that what we go to.
Mr. Jergens.
Oh, well, Galen, I know there's been some 5/8 spread out on roads, townships. Do you know how that stood up? I mean, it probably hasn't been there that long, but do you know of any incidents where complaints or?
We've put some 3/4 on some county roads, and it's held up well, and but we haven't had real wet weather conditions.
Right. No.
You know, that makes the big difference. And I really haven't had to bid on many township roads to see how that's holding out in townships. I don't know if you've had yours put down yet, Eddie, or not.
Yeah, it's to me it was dustier when it's dry, but mm-hmm. It's holding up.
Okay.
Galen, just making it smaller rock, that's still going to crush up and disappear where the gravel won't it?
Yes, for our quality rock that we have in Gage County, yes.
How far back are we with allotments?
We are still on fall of 2020. We're about halfway, midway point right now on fall of 2020.
Would it be a thing instead of doing X miles for substitution, be like your fall allotment, allow substitutions for that? Is that a way we could do that?
So we caught up several years ago, which was out of the ordinary. I mean, we happened to catch up 3 or 4 years ago, I think.
Roughly, yeah.
We stayed caught up until 2 years ago, and we just couldn't get material. I mean, it was just one of those things. So it's not out of the ordinary for us to be back like this. It's not acceptable. I mean, it's just the way it is. Our hauler now, I think they're hauling really hard, aren't they?
Yeah, we've been doing great. Rockland's been doing super.
And so, I mean, we can't point the finger at them. It's just if they couldn't get material.
So they are getting it.
Yeah. Yep.
But, I mean, we either say yes or no or put some stipulation on what we'll allow.
This would allow townships, until we change something, to use rock in place of gravel if they'd like to. Their choice.
If there's a motion that says that,
I mean, makes sense to me. I mean, if that's what they prefer, I mean, going down the road, if it's a bad choice, they'll know it. You know.
Do we have anybody from a township that wants to speak on this, or?
Eddie pointed to it. It was extremely dusty at Philly Township.
Would you come up to the mic,
yourself, please?
Give your name for the record.
Yeah, Doug Party, live at 13515 East Chestnut at Adams, and been taking the Philly Township roads, and it was extremely dusty. Just a bit of a safety concern if you're meeting a second car. I don't know, that would be a factor. The road seems to be holding up good. The rock looks good, and I know at desperate times or measures, I mean, some rock is better than a dirt road or things like that. That isn't safe either, so I think whatever recommendation you guys need to do, I think you're fine either way, but it is a slight safety concern. Meaning if there'd be a car behind another one, you would not see them in the dust. So,
and I think that's probably typical of rock versus mm-hmm. gravel as well. I mean, gravel's dusty too, but rock is dustier.
Yes, definitely. It was concerning. I was glad to see the rain last week. So, but
I guess I would ask for a motion.
My question was just last time we had a mile stipulation. Are we just going to
We gave an additional mile in lieu of.
Yeah, it was 2 miles in lieu of. So are we doing a mileage again, or are we going to do like a...
I would suggest for this round, we can always change it back. For this round, we leave it up to township. If they want rock, let them get rock to try and get caught up a little better. Your man told me you had a big supply down there.
I think there is. Until this.
So, I mean, I'd say it's their call. It's their road. Yeah, they're the ones going to take the heat on it if it's not right. Okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is that a motion?
That would be a motion.
Second.
Would this be for just 21 or... Like for the
and for the record, Becky asked
to the mic.
Becky Borgman with the Highway Department. Would this be for the 21 allotments, or we'd still have like half of fall of 2020? Are you going to?
I would say the fall of 2020 and the 2021.
Spring of 21.
It would fall of 21.
Spring and fall.
So are you saying
you mean to keep on going
this calendar
into next
year, or
because we're just in spring?
I don't know what I'm saying.
As your second, Terry, I think fall of last year and spring now to get caught up.
Yes,
I would second that.
Okay,
and then it goes back to what we gave the townships earlier in the year, which it would be in lieu of 2 miles if wanted, spring and fall. Okay, so if I understand right,
we're getting back to mud.
Motion.
Yes, we are.
By Juergens, second by Lytle, to allow fall 2020, spring 2021, township aggregates to be at choice of the township, rock or gravel. At this point, fall will revert back to what we were prior to that, which is an in lieu of gravel. They could substitute 2 miles if they so choose.
That's right.
I agree.
You get that, Don? Because I'm going to tell you, we said it clearly. Okay. All right. Any questions on the motion? If not, I would ask you to vote. 6 in favor with 7 in favor. Motion carries.
What the board said.
About time you got there.
Kind of bites me in the ass.
Thank you.
Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove a 1-year extension of the EMS agreements.
Move to approve.
Second.
Move to approve by Lytle, second by Haxby. What this will do is give a 1-year extension to our current agreement. No changes made. Everything will move forward.
I wanted to just say I still think we should look at this. It's really hard to look at all of it between all the different EMS. But there's been a change of allocation between, like, you know, of the populace and also calls for service. So we have to, like, try to it hasn't been looked at in 15 years. So I think we need to look at it. So maybe in a year we can get this figured out and come up with a formula that allocates those funds a little bit better.
Any additional discussion on EMS funding? I would ask you to vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Thanks, Bonnie. Thank you. Up next, approve or disapprove Nebraska Auditor of Public Accounts for auditing services years 2021 through 2023. What brought this up is Schultz is backlogged some. Who was our accountant before? Additionally, we are going to have $4 million that comes through federally. We'll start receiving that money if we haven't already.
$2 million.
So we've received $2 million. We can't allocate that out yet because we don't know what the rules are. We will soon. Because of that money, we'll require a federal audit, which that is not the same as our normal audit.
Not all firms will do federal audits anymore. Getting to be very few.
Not all firms have the ability to do a federal audit. The state audit is more expensive and I'll say, intrusive at times.
All times.
At all times. But with the federal money here, this looks like...
It will cover that.
I'm sorry?
It will cover the federal part.
Yeah, the state auditor does.
Move to approve.
Agreement is second. Just for strictly actual hours worked. I mean, so whatever hours it takes them to do it, that's what they bill us for.
Motion by Lytle, second by Haxby. Any additional questions on this?
What was the last time they did one for us, Don? Was that 2 years ago?
No, they just finished this one.
It was just this year.
Just this last year.
What was our cost on that one?
It was about $18,000.
It was about $18,000?
Which is probably four more.
$5,000 more.
Right, and it was 4 years ago, so I don't know if it'll end up being this much since they just recently audited because, you know, they've gone through a lot of those
things. Schultz had done the last three?
They didn't do it last year, but the three before that.
You do three and then one with the state.
Is that how we had been doing it?
That's what we had been. I did contact them again, and he said we're still so far behind. They're not taking on any new assignments, and so we're getting to the end where we've got to get somebody lined up.
An additional issue was since they're busy, the state also fills up. Knowing that we need a federal audit, we have to find somebody that will do a federal audit also. So even though we don't know how this money will be allocated anytime there's federal money, there's strings attached.
It's not just the rescue money. If we receive any for the roads or any of that, those all dollars all add together.
Well, I remember when we went to using the state every so many years, and there's good reason for doing. I mean, the extra that you're paying there isn't just wasted money.
There's also, Schultz lost their primary stakeholder, you know, and that has changed everything down there as far as workloads and how they're trying to readjust still, because they did a great job for us.
Just unfortunate that the federal government or the state government are squeezing out private enterprise.
Yep.
By regulation.
Yep.
We have a motion. We have a motion and a second. Any additional discussion? This will be 2021 to 2023.
One question.
Yes.
So are we contracting with them now to do all of the next 3 years?
We have the option to. That's what we have it on here as. Okay. We can break it down and do 1 year at a time. If we go with them for this period, we should be out of that CARES Act, or correct, Don, or we think we will.
If it's not spent by 2024, as my understanding, when we first heard this, that the money would be returned if you hadn't spent it or it was done by then.
Which is money's going into a separate account that was set up. It won't be touched until we specifically come up with our guidelines and allocate it out. I would ask you to vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order? Mr. Schuler.
I learned at the NACO workshop that John Cannon expressed to us that we should keep this COVID money, I call it, separate, so that the interest is kept separate. Mm-hmm. So you're aware of that then? Okay. That's all I...
The interest has to be used for the same uses as the original dollars.
Okay.
So it's all broken out, and we also have to account for that interest and show where it is and if it goes out, where it went.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I... it is on the NACO, and maybe you've all seen it, the website, to how the money can be used.
It's not final till July 9th or something, they're telling.
Okay.
And they're advising us to hold off with anything. And actually, Senator Dorn contacted me and said, don't be in a hurry to try to distribute this till we go through it and determine.
Okay. That.
He also did say that if we wanted to hire somebody to help distribute these, like formulate the grants and things like that, make it a little easier on poor Don over there, that can be paid by that fund, too.
By the CARES money.
Yep.
Yeah.
That'll be a nice little industry for someone, I'm sure.
Yep.
If there's nothing else for...
Hey.
Anything.
We ain't voted yet.
Great jobs.
I'd ask for a motion to adjourn at 10:29.
So move.
Moved by Dorn. Lacking a second.
Looks like Terry's got to stay here.
We don't have a second. We have a motion.
Second.
Oh. Second by Juergens. Please vote. Six in favor with Lytle voting nay.
I didn't get to it.
We are adjourned at 10:29.
He asked too fast.